Welcome. Today I have the great honor of interviewing Dr. Alex S. Wilner. He is an assistant professor of international relations at the Norman Patterson School of International Affairs at Carleton University. He teaches classes on intelligence, national security, terrorism, and strategic foresight in international security. Professor Wilner's research primarily focuses on the application of deterrence theory to contemporary security issues like terrorism, violent radicalization, organized crime, cyber threats, and proliferation. His books include Deterring Rational Fanatics and Deterring Terrorism, Theory and Practice. He has published articles in International Security, Security Studies, Journal of Strategic Studies, Comparative Strategy, NYU Journal of International Law and Politics, and Studies in Conflict and Terrorism. His commentaries appear regularly in the Globe and Mail, Ottawa Citizen, and other national outlets. Prior to joining NPSIA, Professor Wilner held a variety of positions at Policy Horizons Canada, the Monk School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto, the National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Responses to Terrorism at the University of Maryland, and the ETH Zurich in Switzerland. As a researcher at Policy Horizons Canada, he conducted strategic foresight exercises on the future of state, non-state, and cyber conflict, power, and international relations. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to do this interview with me today. Dr. Wilner, as an assistant professor of international relations at the Norman Patterson School of International Affairs at Carleton University, you teach classes in intelligence, international affairs, terrorism, national security, and strategic foresight. With your expertise, what is the best advice that you can provide to those who are perhaps interested in pursuing a degree in international affairs at Carleton University?
Thanks for the question, and it's a pleasure to be here. I think people do well when they study something that they're passionate about. I think that's a little bit cliche, but those who want to study at Norman Patterson School of International Affairs at Carleton or in any other graduate program, at the master's and PhD level, those who do well are the ones who study what they really like because they just have the energy to dive in and to do a lot of the research and the work. So my suggestion to students is, you know, find those international relations puzzles or the security puzzles that you like to, that are just intriguing to you, and then find the right courses and the right professors that are offering expertise in that area. And then go from there. And then you'll see that your interests kind of expand. So basically I would say is start with your interests, expand from there, and look for opportunities to study abroad if that's an option to you.
Certainly. And I oftentimes advise students and young professionals to pursue what they're passionate in pursuing. There's so many different fields out there. But for those students who are interested in pursuing studies in international affairs, global affairs, international relations, diplomacy, I oftentimes tell students to not only study the subject and the field, but to also be engaged, to be involved. There's so many nonprofit organizations that provide students with an opportunity to write. Here at the NATO Association of Canada, we provide students with many opportunities to intern, to be a junior research fellow by engaging in our junior research fellowship that's available throughout the year. So for those who are perhaps currently studying international relations and global affairs, what would you advise students to do in order to become more active outside of academics?
So I think you're absolutely right. One option is to simply volunteer within the school, within the university. So there are student unions, there are student groups that explore those. There are publications that are run and edited by students. So that's at the very local level. But then I think because we're at Carleton's in Ottawa, we have a very warm relationship with the federal government and the federal public service. So Carleton University, but also specifically Norman Patterson, we offer co-op programs. And I think other schools do, U of T, U of O, University of Ottawa, and others at West as well. But we have those deep links with the federal government. So many of my students, I'd say probably 30 to 40%, have summer and fall co-op placements. Those are paid placements in a variety of different offices, public safety, D&D, and so on. What that does for them is that it allows them to apply the knowledge that they learned at school in practice. That's quite unique. That's an opportunity that I never had, for instance. And they come back after, you know, even just 4 or 5 months of working downtown, and they have experience that they then apply in their studies. And I think that's pretty unique. So again, it's basically looking for opportunities, both at the local, at the university group, in the NGO community like yours, in the think tank community. There are some in Ottawa and broader, and then in the different organizations, federal or provincial organizations that are of interest to you.
Certainly. And for all of our listeners today who are interested in learning more about the work that you do, your research primarily focuses on the application of deterrence theory to contemporary security issues like terrorism, violent radicalization, organized crime, cyber threats, and proliferation. Please tell us more about the significance and the impact that your research has had in focusing on these areas, along with some of your findings pertaining to terrorism.
Deterrence theory, in a nutshell, is a long-standing theoretical approach with very practical relevance that was developed primarily during the Cold War. Most people are most familiar with the idea of nuclear retaliation as a form of deterrence by punishment. That's a standalone process that was developed during the Cold War. But the logic is to threaten an adversary such that you change his behavior and motivation. And so deterrence, as in a nutshell, and the logic, is very popular among states in conflict. But after 9/11, there was, at first, a reaction was that groups like Al-Qaeda and attacks like 9/11 were not deterrable. That for some reasons, for rationality or for extreme motivation, groups like Al-Qaeda and its leadership would go to extreme measures, and that no amount of threats could actually alter their behavior, their cost-benefit calculation. So deterrence theory kind of languished for a little bit in the decade after 9/11. But since then, there's been a body of literature that has tried to update, and I'm part of this literature, to update deterrence theory and practice in counterterrorism. And so what we found is that at times states are able to manipulate coercively the motivation and behavior of their militant and terrorist adversaries. And so some of the logic that I've explored, or some of the cases that I've explored, involve the targeted killing of Taliban leaders in Afghanistan by NATO and American forces. And so I tried to measure what effect on their motivation and behavior those targeted killings have had. Other scholars have looked at the Israel or Hamas and Hezbollah dyad, others still of Russian and Chechenian dyad, others have looked at the European context and the American context in Iraq. And while deterrence theory doesn't fit perfectly with counterterrorism, there are lessons for the fringes of counterterrorism, suggesting that when the coercive process is accurate, that you can actually manipulate your adversary, even at the non-state level. And so that's important. And so if the theory suggests how, then in practice, we can kind of develop the ways to do so.
And can you tell our listeners more about some of your most recent publications on this area?
So my most recent book is called Deterring Rational Fanatics. That was published by the University of Pennsylvania Press last year. And that's basically all of my theoretical work that I've been working on for the last 5, 6, 7 years. And then the application of the targeted killing case studies from Afghanistan. And so that book's available for purchase, of course. But the lessons there are simply that the theoretical lessons, so I try to expand the logic of deterrence for contemporary non-state violence, and then apply an empirical case study from the Afghan Taliban case. But another interesting publication is a co-authored piece that I wrote in 2014 in International Security, which is a major top-ranked IR journal, and I co-authored that with Mark Long. And what we did was we tried to explore delegitimization as a coercive effect. A lot of militant groups, as you know, Magdalena, are motivated by extreme interpretations of ideological or religious sentiment. And that motivation informs how they perceive the legitimacy of their actions. And so what Mark and I were trying to do is say, does the logic of deterrence fit into that legitimization of violence? What could we do and say that might alter their perceptions of legitimacy that would then lead to a change in behavior? So it's totally different from Cold War deterrence, but it's still trying to manipulate behavior. And Mark Long, he happens to be an expert on Islamist thought. This is why we paired up together. And so we did a very deep dive on Al-Qaeda's ideological motivation. And so I think we tried to expand deterrence theory in a very unique way. And we hope to work again on this topic. I also co-edited a separate book in 2012 called Deterring Terrorism, Theory and Practice. That's with Stanford. That book's kind of unique in the sense that it was the first book, to my mind, first academic rigorous book that brought together scholars of deterrence and scholars of terrorism together. And we did this at a conference in Zurich, Switzerland, where I was researching. So that book came out of a conference that we organized at the ETH Zurich in Switzerland, and there were some very famous scholars who joined us. So Janice Stein from U of T, who's a prominent scholar of deterrence, joined us. Thomas Schelling, who is a Nobel laureate and a grandfather, if you will, of deterrence logic, he joined us. Brian Michael Jenkins and Martha Crenshaw, terrorism experts, were there. So that book was the first foray into deterring terrorism, and so my research has kind of picked up from there. And so again, all that material is available online or at your local library, in fact.
Okay, perfect.